Let me be sure that you shut off the computer. I don't remember. you. I'll be taking you through a few slides, and after the slides, we can do some good stuff. So, first of all, the reputation promise. As you are aware, our main objective is our general scoring for our companies. We do this through enabling oversight and capability and governance, and through effective and efficient audit. This presentation is to provide members of Parliament with the necessary information, guidance, and report outcomes to enable the portfolio committee to execute the oversight function. If you look at the slides 13 and 14, it shows two financial years, 2013 and 13-14, and you see arrows. The green arrow shows that they've improved, the orange shows they stayed the same, and the red shows that they regressed. For the department and the three entities. The first one is the Department of Rural Development. And you see we are reporting on three main areas. Financials, income objectives or quarter, your APO, and then your compliance section. So if you look from 12, 13, 14, you'll see that they remain the same on financial qualification, on an unqualified opinion for financials. Then compliance also remain modest the same. That's on non-compliance and action of 13, 14, mainly relating to the financial statement and subject to material corrections, strategic management and action management. And then you'll see the big improvement for the department was from 13, 14 was the fact that they managed to resolve their qualification on usefulness and reliability of positive performance information, where in 13-14 they received an unqualified opinion on the performance information. So what this means is that it just means that whatever they reported is true and correct. It does not mean that service delivery was changed. So if I talk about they've got an unqualified opinion for performance information, it means that whatever they declared in the annual performance plan is true and fair and is correct. But then, if you then go and compare, you'll still see that they didn't manage to achieve a few targets. So you can rely on what they're saying is the truth there. And then, if you look at agricultural landholdings account, you'll also see that the main improvement is the performance information. The reason for that is the fact that the performance information is also done by the department, which is the APP of the department. So if the department improves, then ALO will also improve. Then, if you look at these special entities on the next page, you'll see that these also improved. They improved for pre-covered objectives in the sense that for top 13, they got an adverse opinion on usefulness and reliability. In the 13-14 financial year, they got a qualified opinion on useful, it's not reliability, but it's correct wording there for green arrow. It should state qualification on usefulness only. So that's my error. That is not applicable now. Okay. Then, if you look at Nkonyamaka, they also remain more or less the same for the three segments, except for beta objectives. You'll see for 13, for 13, Nkonyamaka received an unqualified opinion, and 13, 14, they received a qualified opinion on both usefulness and reliability. We met with the auditors last week of Nkonyamaka, and they explained that they only got four performance targets. And what happened was one of those targets were not useful and measurable. So that resulted in them being 25%. The way our methodology works is as soon as your APP is more than 20%, you could not verify or you could not see smart compliance with smart principles. Anything between 20 to 50% will result in modification. So because they had one target not being in compliance with the criteria, which means 25% they received a qualified opinion on these ones and on the APP. Again, you will also see the other thing with Nkonyamaka is you will see for financial statements that qualification is not moving at all. they got a qualification on renewable assets and provisions in the prior year, and the current year they got a gain on renewable assets and the work that they're using. So that's the one that's been reoccurring for quite a while. If you look at slide number 6, you're also looking at the three main areas regarding our outcomes for financial statements, common information, and climate legislation. And then you will see it should add up to 4, the department and the three entities for the financial statements. And you'll see 3 of them get unqualified opinion, and then the 1 getting qualified opinion is just even on the first, the purple code. Then for compliance with legislation, you'll see all 4 of them having material non-compliance issues. So that's the area which the department needs to the entity to focus on. Then for performance reports, you'll see it adds up to 3. The reason for that is the fact that all are done by the department. So there will only be 3 different performance reports that we report on. And the one that was unqualified was the department, and it has no findings. Then if you look at the Infonama Trust, they were qualified. So that is also qualified. Then these are the different levels of assurance and the way we assess it. You see the green says we provide assurance, the yellow says we provide some assurance, and then the red, limited assurance and no assurance. So if you look at your first level of assurance, will be your senior management, the accounting authority, and the executive authority. Then your second level of assurance will be internal audits, audit committee, and your third level of assurance will be the oversight portfolio. So we assess everything here, providing assurance for senior management, accounting officers, executive authority, and then internal audit and audit committee decisions providing assurance. And the same internal audit is being used for rural, ALA, and BEES. That's what I see the 3 there. And then for one that received the year for internal audit and also the internal audit, where we feel that they're not 100% providing the insurance to resolve all of that. Then this is the first one that was set on the previous software for the new one by 3. This one now being pulled. 13 is audit outcomes for the portfolio. Here we're looking at the main group in terms of the entities. And you'll see that for the financial statements, one of the main root causes will be the action plans, support the action plans. You need to follow up the action plan to make sure the action plans are actually implemented and being monitored. Another one would also be the daily and monthly control. This is the one I spoke about a few times before, where I referenced to the fact that one of the internal controls that you should really concentrate on is performing daily and monthly controls as part of financial and performance management. And that is very crucial in your financial statements. And that's why we recommended to them that they start preparing monthly financial statements to help resolve the material mistakes towards the end of the financial year. Then for performance reports, you'll also notice that we also speak to the leadership. The daily and monthly controls. Make sure that monthly and daily controls are actually being executed, and to make sure that that being followed up in time off and the direct and the direct direction. Audit action plans and proper record keeping and daily and monthly controls also is one of the areas that the department also needs to focus on for performance information. Again, that comes back to where they do prepare action plans for their internal and external findings, and we do find it now in the last few of the meetings that obviously on those actions and keeping a tracking register of those actions. So it is moving towards the right direction. Then regarding compliance, again, also audit action plans, as I just mentioned. These are our 6 focus areas for the audit team. So the audit department in general focuses on 6 main areas within public sector. And the first one is the politics of some of the financial statements. What we mean here is the financial statements are dated on the 31st of May, are they subject material misstatements? As you can see here, you actually see the whole portfolio receiving material adjustment before they receive that intervention is required for the whole portfolio regarding financial statements that are being submitted and that are subject to material fixtures. That will be addressed through the monthly preparation of annual financial statements versus filling notes. Then also the next one is the quality of significant performance reports. What we are talking here is also, so although the annual performance report received an unqualified opinion, it might still have been subject to material corrections. So let's say in rural case of 13-14, what happened was they got an unqualified opinion eventually, but there's still some material corrections to be made on the achievements they reported. So if you pick up some duplications, you pick up some overlapping periods, which they corrected towards the end, but it doesn't mean that the one that was submitted was 100% correct. It means underlying controls on a daily basis need some attention. Then regarding supply chain management, the two that we talk about, the two green ones here, is related to Inkonyama Trust and PALA, Agricultural Land Holdings Fund, where we did not find any non-compliance supply chain management matters. For the department and for these, we did find the irregular escalator. We did find non-compliance with supply chain management. So it was reported in the financial statements also. Then regarding financial health, if we talk about financial health, we look at a few areas. We look at very much the department will be able to continue as a concern in the next financial year, if we're not able to still perform their functions. We also look at your creditors' payment period is 130 days. We also looked at how long is the debtors outstanding. So you look at the whole financial health of the department. What we found here is that the only one that was very good standing was Inkonyama Trust. And we found that needs align the department does require some attention regarding the 30-day payment period of the creditors. As one of the non-compliance matters that was raised. And also, other thing that with the department that is concerning is their commitments and the commitments regarding restitution rates. Because if you look at that in technicality, if anybody were to come and claim their approved restitution claims today, the department will not have enough budget to be able to make that payment. Because it's currently standing at 4.8 billion approved restitution claims already. So we have raised it in the audit report, they've also raised it in the financial statements, and we are just drawing attention in our audit report to the fact of the matter that they've got a new commitment. These are also only claims that relate to 95 to 99, the first claim here. Not the new claims that are coming now. So that will be definitely a focus area that we're going to look at next year when we do our audit. It will also be a focus area I recommend the members to take interest in as to how they will be able to see all those claims. Through business, we do know that all those claims will not be payable within an immediate period, and they will be payable throughout different financial periods. We did see in the current financial year that they allocated 2.8 billion from 13-14 to restitution claims, which they utilized in full. So they did pay in full those amounts to restitution claims. The department will just have to pay attention as to how they're going to advise them going forward to make sure they can have time available for the commitments for restitution claims. Other one is then human resource management. You will see also we report only on 3. The fact that this reports all of human resource management is done by the department. We did find some non-compliance or some HR matters regarding the fact of vacancies. Vacancies in senior management and vacancies in staff overall in found acting serious for longer than 6 months, both people acting longer than 6 months. We also found leave not improved. There's a few HR matters that we identified between the 3 to 6 cycles. Then regarding information technology. So the one red here in information technology is rural village company part. And we're talking about the IT governance framework that is not up to date. And you will also see that in terms of our audit reports, we also make reference to the fact that they link the variation to the IT governance framework. There's a framework issued by DPSA as to 3 different stages that you need to comply with. They have an effective IT governance framework. We did our first readiness assessment for 13-14, and there were some shortcomings for the department that they need to pay attention to. It's quite important as information technology will become a very much more focused area in the future. The one that is green relates to ALA, agriculture land order discounts, mainly because the only information public technology that was tested under ALA was the financial system, which is a different financial system to the department. Otherwise, ALA also relies on the Shell and same system that the department was using. With the other 2 relates to Bunyama Trust and DBS. Then, for our outcomes, we assessed what is the 2 main root causes for findings, for material findings that we pick up, and internal control officials. And we found that these 2 were most common throughout. The first one is no response by management. What we mean here is that we will identify some kind of control deficiencies. We will report it to management, and then they will draft an action plan. And that action plan will be monitored each and every audit committee. But the response from management to actually address those findings takes some time. So if management can prioritize that a bit more and make sure that when they report back to the audit committee, they give statistics of how many have been resolved, how many are still in progress, and how many have not been attended to. And that can effectively be monitored. And that process will start, picking up. The second one we also identified is also the vacancy of the key management. One of the major vacancies that the department needs to fill urgently is the CFO position in the rural development. Like we mentioned before, acting CFO is doing a very good role. He hasn't said anything and he's helping us a lot. And we've had very good cooperation from him. But we do feel that that role needs to be in order to strengthen the leadership and to make sure that the staff know exactly that leadership will not change again. Because that we do see the key fact every time if somebody new comes in, does change the leadership structure. Then these are the commitments we got from the minister for 12-13 and 13-14. So you will see that one with the green frame that is implemented, one with the yellow or orange frame are still in progress, and the one with the blue frame is a new one that is up now for 14 going forward. So the first one, ensure that staff of internal audits fully staff, and ensure that internal audit functions fully staff. That's still in progress. They have filled some of the positions, that's still in progress. We've had very good response this year because they hold internal audits with a staff member attending to the performance information, which helped them achieve unqualified opinion on performance information. The next one is then develop the strategic plans for 12-11, 12-15, using the new planning framework, ensuring that the department-wide objectives are clearly defined. The reason why we say this is in progress is because of the fact that teams and members are not allowed to see the qualified opinion on usefulness of audit performance information. As soon as that is also unqualified, this will move to green. The one thing that they did manage to implement is process and procedure. The department did manage to implement quite a few new policies and procedures addressing some of our concerns. So that they did do. address weaknesses in internal control. So again, this one comes back to that one main root cause we spoke about, where they need to really pay attention to tracking the action plan on a quarterly basis. Another one of the minister's commitments is also reduce vacancy rates by filling vacancies of key management positions. As you can see, one of the key root causes that I mentioned earlier was vacancies, so therefore this one is also still in progress. The minister did make a commitment that they are really paying attention to this. Then one of the new ones that we discussed now last month was the implementation of effective project management. What we mean here is that we discussed with the minister that they've got that new ENPO unit where all the projects are going to be run through one unit, which is a very good idea because now they can have more control over the whole of the projects. I think there's now 4,000 contracts going through that project. And we had a discussion with him, and he committed to say that they can start giving training to their project manager at the region as well as how to do effective project management. And then also to ensure that by doing this effective project management, they're not overrunning on the initial contracts. Because one of the things that we found this year was that for the balance of grants, the balance of household grants, there was some overpayment being made on the initial approved commitments, and that resulted in irregular expenditure. So that was one of our concerns that needed to be addressed. Then that will conclude the outcomes for the RP. Just going to talk about one, two, three more slides, just about oversight again. And I discussed this some in a few sessions ago, just how oversight works, about the planning, operational planning and budgeting, where your planning and your budgeting needs to be aligned. In your implementation, in-year monitoring, that's your quarterly reports, and our quarterly reports feeds into your annual performance plan, but also feeds into your strat plan. And then your end-year reporting, that's your annual performance report, and that's what we audit. That's what we express with Ina on, and then the accountability reports to how that is actually implemented and impacted the portfolio. Then the oversight components. Yeah, just some of the roles of portfolio committee, legislation, what you need to consider in terms of legislation, you need to amend, you need to approve, you need to reject all the legislation. When it comes to budgets, you need to consider and approve the budget and monitor expenditure of the department, reporting on the mandates, under the progress reports from line function departments and provincial and local government authorities. This will not be provincial local government, but entities as such, reporting back into the department. Accountability, ensure that all appropriate executives of state and portfolio are held accountable, supports to the DG and to the minister. And oversight, conduct oversight over the executive authority and consult and liaise with other organs of state. We drafted this just to give you some background as to considerations for both the product committee and the new performance monitoring. So what are the questions you need to keep in the back of your mind when you're dealing with performance information for the department? And then some of these, like, is the strat plan aligned to the national development plan and the national outcomes? Does the agency have adequate resources available to achieve these three different objectives? So not only financially, but in human bodies as well, do they have enough staff to actually execute that, the event? And also, apart from the staff, also do they have the tools? So do they have the IT systems and all of those things to actually track and monitor what they're going to do? And then third bullet talks about all the targets realistic and be done. Fourth bullet, how are the entities ensuring the strategic plan and performance plans will be achieved? Otherwise, how are they monitoring this? What tools are you using? Are you using manual systems? Are you using IT systems? And the portfolio committee should review the corporate progress, the entity with regards to the internal objectives and the contributions to the national development plan. Second last bullet, portfolio committee should review annual achievement of the internal objectives. This will be also in terms of your quarterly reports, and I come and report back about the quarterly reports. And the last bullet is that portfolio committee should approve and track changes to strategic plans and annual performance reports. One thing we also notice is sometimes the quarterly reports doesn't feed into it's not aligned to the annual performance plan. So just make sure that when you get the quarterly report that it actually talks, that those targets actually talk to the annual performance plan. Because otherwise they would sometimes report on stuff that's not really relevant to the annual performance plan possibly in the financial year. Then again, the different levels of oversight, I touched on this a bit earlier. The first level of oversight, first level of assurance, which is to the senior management, DG, and the minister. And the second level of assurance speaks to your national treasury, your DPSA, and then your Department of Performance Monitoring. Also speaks to internal audit and audit committees. And then your third level of assurance, which is to the portfolio committee itself. And just how important the first level of assurance should be 100% functioning in order to feed into the third level of assurance. This is a prism. So what happens here, if you shine a normal light into a prism that is set up effectively, it will give you the different shades of light as well. So what we're actually saying here is that your robust financial management system, independent revenue reporting, your oversight by account and accountability by all, the implementation of ethical behavior, all of these things are working effectively. Whatever you put in will then achieve effective service delivery. So that's very important for us as well as the general also to understand, make sure we understand the department and the way they work. And also to make sure that every week we report to the portfolio committee that we have a good relationship with the portfolio committee. Make sure that you understand our report so that you can use it for the best of your abilities to derive the questions that you want from the department. Then I commonly actually do the general report related to questions that many including here or players and government about the need for accountability and consequences and how these can be enforced. And then you're just saying that legislation is out clearly as to how it can be enforced. You'll see there's some details in our booklet that we issued, Sporting Brief for the General of South Africa, on pages 44 to 65. I've got it electronically, I'll email it to you, Vanessa, she can also email it to the member. I just want to go through that section just to make yourself a bit more aware as to how accountability can be enforced. Then the HSA booklet highlights legislation and enables remedies to be applied to national provincial departments of health or conservation and poor performance. Introduce the following failure to comply with legislation, unauthorized legal expenditure, invasive expenditure, possible fraud and corruption, poor work performance, and other non-compliance legislation. To give you a bit of background as to how to deal with these non-compliance issues. Okay. And that's it. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Thank you, Ethan, for the informative presentation. Thank you for the item on some of the issues that the committee really does to support on to make sure that metal methods are not strictly in each and every financial. But based on some of the reasons that you said that it's slow response, you know.
Thank you. God comes, that is the first one. Why does he come? There's not sometimes a certain limited presence while politicality is in a need. They should learn the opening of the proceedings, the concern on that, but how do you exert your management? How do you pinpoint that? Is this management like a credit sheet? Is this a political decision you should take at the end of the day? Is this a special open? Can I explain another slide, page 9 or slide 9 of the chain? What is the outcome on the risk? Especially on human resources, obviously, not only the concern, but we need a deep understanding of the policy.
That's it. I just, you know, the one of the Tugoyama class and the associated with the qualified comments. Is there any details, particularly in the Ngonyama trust, what is going on there? Is it a general problem of delayed response to, you know, matters that have been identified? And if, in your estimation, this problem can be resolved? And then there's a slide of yours which I didn't understand, which leads to that's like page 8, where you understand your kind of key there at the bottom, and then in the ICT government of controls, in the top column there, they are not assessed. What does it mean? And then, as I understand it, Che, could be my problem if I was a bit late. The department's budget should be broken generally into two segments, the restitution and the land reform, land tenure arrangement. So I think you say a lot about the restitution aspect of the budget. Is there maybe another time to deal with the land distribution and the tenure? And because I mean I'll be interested there also to get comments around the good thing you did on the restitution thing. This is a political matter, will engage the minister on it. This thing you've done about, we know we need 4 billion rand to set up approved restitution cases. Then I'm suggesting that once you go into the redistribution in particular, get some sense of what are the approved projects there, but maybe I'm asking a question which doesn't really get this process.
Apologies, I think some of the questions will need the response from already, but
last one, so one thing about that, why your audit outcome does not report on the spokesman issues? Is that, in a sense that you, on your reporting, you say that Department X was brought on the side? Because I don't see that. Why?
Thank you, Manager. I'm going to start with some of the questions. If I missed it, but just so the first one on equally on trust, yes, they didn't receive any non-compliance on 30 days. They paid all of their supplies in 30 days. And their supply chain also, there was also no non-compliance matter with supply chain, which means that we had a discussion with the auditors. They say that the control environment is for the union has not that the financials of the financial environment is quite effective. It's just the qualification regarding the land valuation and the royalty revenues. They are sort of dissolving it. So they controls, they do have internal control and they dysfunctioning. So that's why there was no compliance. regarding slide 6. So with slide 6, what we found is, yes, so there was a qualification on Ibu Yomakas, and then that's one, that's the one, and then the OP received unqualified opinion. And then leaders in matter of concern in the year is the compliance legislation, which they all received not material non-compliance, which is the circle on the right hand side, the red circle, for all four entities. And then the performance report at the bottom, the very important circle, also speaks to the department actually receiving unqualified opinion, and then and from your address to these having qualifications. No, I'm just sure if I'm not okay. Then number 3 is the HR slide. Slide 9. Okay. Regarding the HR maintenance, so what we identified here with HR maintenance is legal, usually things according to the DPSA requirements. So the DPSA did not just set the requirements, it's only allowed to take that much of the leave and only allowed to have that much time paid out at a salary of more than 30%. Only allowed to add a senior manager for 6 months continuously and as normal staff for 12 months. We found for departments and found that some employees were acting longer than 12 months. We also found senior management, some of them acting longer than 6 months. And then we also found that there were overtime paid out. You're not allowed to pay out more than 30% of the employee's salary. And we found that there was some overtime being paid out an employee of more than 30% of his salary. The reason for that is this employee reports directly to the administrator. And he's on standby all the time. And he needs to make arrangements for the minister all the time, as and as how the minister's salary arrangements changes. So that's one of the reasons why he's got paid more than 30% of his salary on overtime. And then also there were vacancies. We also found there was vacancy in the senior management position for more than 6 months. And this is relating to the requirements. And those are main things regarding HR
management.
Oh yes. So not assessed. The reason why we say not assessed is the fact of the matter is that those IT systems form part of the department's IT systems, and it forms part of the financial systems. So for performance information, they don't use the IT systems. Everything's done manually. They use Excel sheets. And that's why we found from duplications, we found wrong accounting period being reported on. Because we found that there's no IT. They don't use IT systems. They use manual Excel sheets. You also find that in the management report, we did raise this with the department group. We said that we understand that you might not want to prepare an IT system now, but it doesn't become important to you to prepare an IT system to manage your performance information, because it's a lot of information that you can report on every day. And then the same thing with legislation, it's only there's no IT systems involved with legislation. That's why we said not a system. Then regarding the DRDR the budget, so for rural development, we've got three main programs. You've got land reform, you've got restitution, you've got rural development. So the majority of the budget goes to land reform and restitution. So the reason why we just mentioned restitution is because that is the main commitment on the financial statement that this is important time. They do have some land reform projects that's already approved. That is also part of commitment, but it's not that much. If you want more information, you can have a discussion afterwards and we can see how we can provide more information on the land reform budget. Technically, everything is set out in the application statement in annual reports. And the fraud matters, if you look at not this document, the species green document, the word document that was issued in members, the very last one, 24 to 25, it talks about the litigation currently happening at the middle of the development. You'll see that there's quite a few investigations that's been handed over to the SIU regarding execution plans. And there's a few cases that Interaudit is conducting on their own. The main four cases that happened at the Department of Banking Institution where this false beneficiaries financial computation as part of a bigger restitution plan. You also find sometimes Department officials manufacturing false IDs being submitted as part of restitution plans. There was misuse of state assets. There's some corruption of officers. Another thing that we also find sometimes very, very difficult to prove is where the department official and the farm owner is in collusion with the land price that they want, and then they will the department will end up buying the land at above market price, quite heavily above market. The way the department is combating this, they are getting independent evaluators to come and value the land before they will pay the value for the land. So those are one of the things that the internal auditor has their own fraud investigation unit that is serving the GC and the minister directly. They've also got very good relationships with the SIU, and they are working with SIU continuously. And then for deeds, you'll see this on court investigation regarding deeds as well, where there's fraudulent transfer of title deeds. This also happens where deeds officials are involved, and then they will transfer title deeds to private individuals' names for a certain fee. So those are all investigations that are currently happening at the moment. We do monitor, we do track them, and then we report on them. The only thing is, when they are still in investigation stage, you can't really report on them. You guys only report on them when it's in finalized, and then we will assess if there's any risk to the financial statements. Mm. If there's no risk to the financial statements, then we do not report. It becomes an internal reporting item. So the best question would be to ask the DG about update of those cases and how you can order speech to him regarding the fraud. Yes.
Maybe is there room to check? Is there room of transition you must increase in some kind of 6 months? Because they tend to go up at the end of the day. Why are Muslims so scary as an official who's involved with security campaign? And it's just crazy, it's all just it has been long scaling that issue. It's only a huge company and well, yes, unless of course what you know, I know that they have been scaled but there's not much to do with this issue.
There's no rule of thumb as to how long an investigation should take. Unfortunately there's no period. And it's also not history.
Thank you, John. Any follow-up? Thank you very much, and thank you for this very quickly, and thank you to us, and I to the to have made an offer in some of the issues that you have to raise to everybody joining you to the
Thank you.
What do they do with the visas? Remember, our kids there, last year, not there. Our conversation was the next, but also other parties. I'm not confirm with nine. What I can tell you is there's no formal, what I can confirm is there's no formal request that there's informal, even Saturday, Sunday morning, one of this guy called you, Mandela.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was there, he just meeting informally with yeah. You saw him, right? Oh, there's no.
Yes, look, let me put
there are many meetings there. That's like the one you saw with the but no meeting where we sit my ourselves and the meeting. But individual, no where we sit with them. But individual, I'm sure. You know, we meet them in the mall, maybe where we drink and so on. But there's no arrange for money. No. But I'm
you need to explain to me why I came in with you. Yeah, so I'm saying to you, we're not formal. We're not formal. You saw yourself. The Mandela meeting with our committee, they knocked that up on before, Not normal. No, not me. I don't know anything about it. No. You must talk to people with something. I did not say that. Off the body. I'm going to snap you. The next thing is off the record. What I worry about is, why are they doing? What they should do? I say I'm sitting there again. Why are they looking? That informal meeting. They were three of them, but it's an informal conversation. But so I'm going to try to get the people to ask me about it. What do you mean by the
thank you, Honourable Chair, and Honourable Members, and officials from government. Honourable Chair, we have received the report that reflects continuous improvements. I think it's right to put it that way because we will reflect statements and this outline that we have presented here. That said, we're working very closely with the political task force very well. And we know our intentions. Now we're still on course in terms of improving financial management. We think that given the guidance the Commission will give us, as you will hear, as we see there now, we have a very good sense of how we're performing. They've identified the five areas of weakness which we need to attend to. We will present something, just a broad outline on how we deal with the business. We also have decided to projectize, because we need to be fair with this. We decided to projectize to deal with all questions and queries, so that we do not wait for this moment to attack them. As a project, anyway, on Peter says, clear with the officials of this, that I'm interested in seeing the options and how we want to engage the KG project, because we did very, very helpful to us in the middle of this kind of issue that the challenges we should say that in the with regard to the Wenema Trust Board, I just would like to draw the attention, we had a deep discussion last time, I just want to draw the attention of the honorable members to the special circumstances, difficult circumstances surrounding the Wenema Trust Board, and which reflects sometimes on the way in which we work. So, and those circumstances are not only making of ourselves. These are circumstances that we all are aware of as part of the transformation of the Sapakan site. These are challenges which we hope will be addressed to let us. One, the communal land syndrome and the bill will come before Parliament. The communal land syndrome will come before Parliament before the end of the financial day that we will have. Also, we've been consulting on the communal land syndrome, which is actually given us a very good sense of what we're likely to achieve. There haven't been any objections to this model. At all levels, because it deals with the transformation of the economy, and will have a direct impact, and including the participation of the Wenema Trust Board, and there's no objection to it. So we will come over here. And that deal will address broadly, not just the Wenema Trust Board, but all the role of traditional councils in the world from the transformation. We will get to that point when we present here. The second aspect of it is that we are very serious with the Trust Board's leadership, we should work a little bit closer to join that generation development of policies, including such that we work closely together so that we can satisfy the requirements of the law as has been emphasized very, very strongly in the last meeting that the members of this committee will think that it is something that we make a big difference in terms of understanding what is required in terms of responsibility. With regards to the restitution, now, there is a climbing into the political world, so not democratic lives. I don't know how we emphasize in these nonsenses traditional lives and all these things. The law was only signed by the president of the Senate to the bill of the Senate. How we would have taken money, this one is already to do all the things that are expected. And for the reservation there, let me just say this. Essentially, what they are looking for now is the political support. And actually, this stated well in that article by the Honorable Washington. It's correct to say so. What is not correct is to say, what this committee has said, I think that's the purpose. The TTA was represented by the one of the choice of the other members of the board. We all agree that we prioritize the safety place in terms of settlement. But we also said there, unless I didn't agree, we also said there, we will on the other hand, because the complexity of some of the claims that are existing, I've said that you can't wait until we resolve the reporting process in these claims. So, you know, we will prioritize the whole thing. Some of the claims are vetted, as one of the members know, they come from this committee, are vetted claims. If you take it for progress like in Hoku, where you have a conflict, the traditional leaders and then we have claims from those communities. We must resolve first the authenticity so that we will hand over the land and the title into the correct authenticity. Now, if you don't deal with it, I said with the engineer of the House of Nepal, and he said to me, just wait until we resolve this. We advise you to wait until we resolve this. And then resolve, you resolve. And then resolve, you settle. And then resolve, you settle. So then you don't settle, and then you end up with a bed and later going to court to have to reflect the thing that is done. So we're doing a lot of consultation on this matter. We understand very well the subject. So that's why we were saying we reduce the spontaneous, but in preference, we prepare those that are good. And then we do it that way. I'm saying that we're realizing this point because what we have had to do this year is to reorganize, rearrange our budget in terms of the institution in order to provide for the logistical support that is required. In other words, the offices where people are going to go and lodge claims, not the processing of the actual claims that are used. So the question therefore of whether we have got money or not is correct for us to say no. Because we have no money to process the new claims that are coming in. We are here to take a bit of the money from the old claims in order to deal with the logistical challenges for now. But for the next financial year moving forward, we are budgeting for those specific needs. I hope I'm clear at this point, because I had thought that we had understood one another last year already, except that the problem was that the DA has got new members, it creates problems. The religious questions only because of the new members. When we introduced this word, but the whole idea, they were ordered. We understood one another. There are new members now. We started fresh. I hope that I've been clear on this to one of the members, because I'm particularly sorry we are. But last year, with regards to the department, I think we have challenges. That is to say, we've got challenges in terms of some of the programs. We would like to see something better than what we are doing. For example, in the right enterprise industry development.
because we are able to have the primary economy association through that branch. If there are other members could assist as well, and the more cases are included, the same could have to be assisted. Because they're all later on. You see, we were emphasizing at the beginning this increasing human needs, the social infrastructure part. So the National Rural Service Corps is in fact located in that context. So us prioritizing the development of the skills of the young people and the children is meant to basically focus on this meeting basic human needs and lifting the thing to end up in the scene of development. Because if you want to transform the South African economy, it makes sense economically to focus on the program economic success. And therefore developing the productive forces in there and also building the social and economic infrastructure there. It makes sense that you are able to then accept investment there. But at the same time the basic productive forces you have. It takes time to achieve that aspect. So that is why we are doing this. We are building on these young people so that we could use those young people there. It is an expensive intervention, especially because it is something that's starting from zero. They actually deep in the graph, it might be a little bit lost, but it doesn't have to be that. But we have to accept that. The second aspect of it is that with the census, it is quite expensive to take the census, especially 3.5 months of expenses for character development, for discipline, for criticism, training, etc. It's expensive. The defense force charges us money. And we take, every time we take about 1,200 to 1,300 to 1,200 per time, but then not much of the defense force. Either a two-side in Kimberley or Southern Kia at the day before. And these are keys from the rural communities, from the village. So we take them there. From there, we take them to the deputy colleges. Deputy colleges charge us about 1,250 a day. Whereas for the normal case, they say they charge them 10,000 rands. So 850,000 rands, they charge us extra. So it's expensive. But it will pay off. If you look at what's happening now, look at Carl here. Carl here, this is what it is, even the youngsters, 2003, they cause us to pay. Yeah, it was a pay. As you enter Palm, look at on your left hand side, beautiful houses, these are the answers. If you went to the Limpopo and you look at the construction in the road, the pavements, these are the answers of doing that, building houses that we want to space. Now, we are very, very careful with that. We have acquired the old central circulation of the country in the first state. We're moving there as our headquarters for the youngsters. So that we can have a base where they can train. It's going to be cheaper now. They want to live in PNPs and they will sleep there. And from there they will be able to actually train, bring in the trainers. They'll bring in the trainers. So we've got now with the fire. We just deal with the formalities to start the question. Because the college is there, they're probably 307 people there, and there are houses for people who will be doing it. They will be managing that place. So we're actually introducing, we're actually in a completely new regime in terms of development, young people from the rural areas. It's going to pay off over the next 10, 15 years, it's going to be transformative. Lastly, we are very, very advanced in building a cooperative for these experts, a mega cooperative. Just as in terms of the requirements that you share, you're going to have a number of secondary cooperatives and then you can do your research. And each one of them is offered, say, look, about 14,000 of these things. Each one of them has said we will pay 1,000 rands. We want to start our own thing. So we don't depend on the state. That's where we are now. So what we're talking about is talking about a completely different set of technologies. We're training them with a relationship with China. We train them because China's got this model of focusing on the world communities in order to build their economy. That's why China's made this now. when the group of them started now that are going there, mostly in the class, the centuries there, in the rural, in the various townships and villages of us, including by the Chinese, of course, two groups are adapted there this year, but they are now going there, another group is going there. So we will be looking at different that model, but that model is on some channel when it is today. We've had this decision for the last 3 years.
Through that, and then what case is the background
conversation, and then page 8, the tennis register of memory, and then page 9 is the narrative about the auditors, committee and risk management, and then page 10 is the organizational structure, and then page 11 the employment and engagement in the state of transfer, and then page 12. This is more a result of the requirements that will be asked by the Commons to provide in terms of the impact of the existence of the board. We deal there with the job security, risk can be deal with the employees and employees, and the skills transfer, and then I may proceed then to page 13, which gives you employment by salary bands, especially time bands, and then also giving you traffic form in the next page, which is page 14. Page 15 deals with the performance report. We have the strategic objectives, which has the unlocking and enabling environment conducive to development on customers. We targeted 1,601 failure rights granted by the board assigned to both parties, and we underachieved that. The auditor performance is 1,157. Then we've got a sub indicator, which is the number of planned lands and projects. We targeted 4 and we achieved that. And then the strategic objective, which says effective and efficient asset management services, that is the land holding business are maintained on a passive basis as an indicator. Okay, from what we set ourselves as targets that have been achieved. Likewise, with regard to support to traditional council in capacity building program, we have targeted 33. We overachieved that by reaching a concept performance of 40. And then the next page, which is page 16, unlocking and enabling environment conditions to developing the fast lane. We give the narrative that will be noted from the previous page, is that we unachieved that. And we then say the narrative that all of the trust is managed, which we already dealt with. And we say that in doing this, the board recognizes all of the 10 rights that are still in place. We also say that these all oral rights are the indigenous rights. In other words, those are oral granted, there is no documentation as far as that is concerned. Say the indigenous right is the primary right that is directly managed by the traditional council. The most that we have achieved anything that can be permission to occupy the personal rights that are managed by the Department of Health. However, the grant of the latter rights has since been suspended due to its unsecured nature. And land occupants are therefore continuously encouraged to road shows and workshops and convert the business rights to new order rights in the leases at this stage, subject to cost raising what the minister has alluded to. And then we talk about the rolling out of the planning and development schemes by municipalities into rural areas. That's also highlighted the need to provide a third tenure instrument to the inhabitants. On the other hand, the rolling out of these many development schemes facilitated development which has affected initial development ventures and formalized housing. perspective in the process, don't tell your eyes that actually you can certainly do the ability in your community and for individual competent as he or she knows the extent and committed to the people's side. Also helpful because it's now counter in local and policy planning areas. Future settlement the commission has used that and local development on trust. Next page, page 17. We motivate the advantages of using what we consider to be the secure form of payment fairness. Saying the Williams House was leased is land for commercial, residential, and institutional purposes. The advantages of taking a lease are that the city has less debt to acquire the land. Control asset without cost of ownership, can deduct this payment as business expense. Short-term lease provides sufficient time for the city to obtain venue and infrastructure requirements. The long-term lease is for a period of 40 years and can be renewed for 10 or 40 years. This long-term lease is only granted as a final of the short-term lease. And then we explain that prior to the lease being effective and enforced, that is prior to 2007, ITB received 100 rand for general PCO income with major registration per annum and 48 rand for PCO income for resident purposes. And this has proved to be unsustainable because PCO is a normal issue and the ITB has adopted the issue system as a medium of providing care. Introduction of the judicial system and increased revenue for community beneficiaries. The fund has equated the 1,157 annualized issue for 2013-2014. 100 rand per annualized based on PGO system. Then the amount receivable is 115,700. By issuing this, we are now comparing what we would have generated on a PCO if we use the old system of PCO. And we say by issuing this is the receivable income of the 1,000 rand year rental. The income is 1,157,000 rand. The increase we say is tenfold. Page 18 will give details of various tenure rights that were granted in order to make housing available to government housing, mainly rural housing. We put a number of units on the second column from the left, and we put the third column, the traditional councils where this was developed, and we put in the last column municipalities where these housing projects were developed. The next slide just to just a photo chairperson in honorable matters. These are not the government driven projects, but this is rural area that shows you what is happening because this is the on land administered by ICB, but those people that have granted leases as a result of which they are able to develop their house according to their abilities. That is what page 19 says. And page 20 is the comments on the performance report. The analysis with regards to land management projects, we say that most of the landfall under traditional councils. In order to address planning development initiative by the trust, in conjunction with local municipalities, the trust undertakes to facilitate projects that are yet at uplifting the lives of occupants residing on such land. And we say the following projects are approved by the board, and we give these projects to say the Ngolo is this part, chain reserve. The project there, chairperson, because I think there were subsequent inquiries to need more information. There are two renewable energy projects and one land project. I think the first two were
we should give more information and explain how does that benefit the communities. The Big Five project in Mpoyoli Reserve is a project that we believe will create job opportunities because it's in the area reserve, and also to improve ecotourism. Renewable energy projects, they are in different areas, but it's a project by private investors working with communities to introduce renewable energy. One, with a view of dealing with energy shortages, two, job creation, and that benefits communities. Page 21 is the comments on performance report. Again, this is strategic objective, effective and efficient assessment of asset management services. We have a landholding register which is maintained on a quarterly basis. On a regular basis, what we check is what transactions are taking place on the land that the board administers. We say it was found that much of the land to which the ones who had been entitled had not been fully transferred, and there was disagreement as to what land was said. And then we explained that only in 2010 was an interdepartmental state committee established, and agreement was reached, and over time land due to the trust was then identified and transferred by the department. This has required reports to be submitted quarterly, stating what land had been sourced during this period. But apart from that, like we say, as we issue long-term leases, there's an encumbrance on land, and therefore that entails that the asset bases are not regularly checked. And also there are times when they are interdicts, but there are also instances when there are land claims that are registered against the trust company. If I may proceed, Chairperson, to the next page, that is page 22. We explain the support to traditional councils. Okay, in terms of enabling legislation, the court cannot alienate and encumber land rather than the consent of traditional council. Most of the beneficial communities are held by traditional council. It is therefore imperative that the court has a full working relationship with traditional council. But the reason why, among others, there needs to be the formal support to provide is because traditional councils do not have enough capacity to be up to date with the legislative process. He says for this reason the board provides strategic professional technical and other support to traditional council so that there is improved relationship. This enables the board to effectively manage administration to communities. And we say that we provide detailed training to traditional council on the issues we identified, like land administration, and also the constitution and the relevant legislation and effective land administration, as well as conflict resolution management. We have indicated what kind of training we need to be carried through, like financial administration, trust administration and management, administrating, and how meetings should be conducted and record keeping. We deal with the agricultural support on page 23. All I can say then, Chairperson, is that because to some extent we repeat what we said before, we start saying with the changing environment, especially around agriculture, support in conjunction with the provincial Department of Agriculture, provide technical, financial, and other assistance communities. I may say that this is just an early stage because the board still to sign the cooperation agreement with the department, as well as, like this indicated today, that we need a closer working together with the department so that our approach and guideline consistent with the national standard amount. We say communities can source their allocated funds by providing an acceptable business plan to the board, and the board encourages that community to develop sustainable projects catering those we have into land usage, like community gardens and cultural products, and it's about 9 million men were located to have transport supported business. On page 24, 25, I know last time the question was whether these are very simple or what. In a nutshell, these are various communities that, based on the allocation of funds, they have preferred that certain students be assisted with their tertiary studies. These communities, they make the decision who qualifies, and then they ask the board, they provide the board with a list of the students that are successful in the interview, and the amount and the situation that needs to be paid. That is how far I can go as far as that is concerned. And then on page 26, we deal with relationships between the board and other organized states. Because of the nature of the role the board plays, which is land, we say that we abide by the provisions of the International Relations Framework Act, and it's for that reason that we carried from us quite as well that those state organ regional for interest on trust land for us to work cooperatively with the signing agreement. There are not many so far signed between the interests, but that has helped us to minimize conflict for many cases. We could have delayed projects. We say the trust owns land in most municipalities in the province, and it makes municipalities, therefore, the majority partners on land use. Page 27, we refer to other stakeholders. In particular, the interpretation is very important, encourages sustained relationships with communities and other stakeholders operating in the same environment. One of the non-cultural commodity problems is sugarcane, and there are various mega role players in the sugarcane industry, like one of the store units, Global Sugar, and follows to mention a few. The board seeks to foster a stronger relationship with these mega able role players. As a starting point, the formal relationship has now been established between the board and Thomas Hewlett and a number of communities across the Guela River. The relationship among other details is the following. Agreement between the board, Thomas Hewlett, and development communities are entered into. Thomas Hewlett, among others, provides skills to communities to develop their land and advance your training in terms of modern methods. Thomas Hewlett also assists the community in the management and the raising of capital in order to become more professional and to obtain funds. The agreement between Thomas Hewlett has been for over a year now. At the end of the year under review, results show improved sugarcane productivity in the province as a result, as well as investment of infrastructure by Thomas Hewlett's community is quite appreciated. Needed most. On page 28, we deal with the future with regards to community benefits. To say the board is of the view that communities with access, in case we were in a country, not staff, financial disadvantage. We therefore say in order to render beneficiary communities on Ulema land, self-assembly board will require each community to set aside a piece of land. That is the future. In other words, on how we see land management going forward, in which economic activities in large scale take place, and revenue derived from the made available for community development and benefits. We illustrate this by saying, the year under review, the board witnessed three important projects which, to some extent, underscore the feasibility of the proposition. The opening of Hammersley Junction Shopping Centre, which is reflected, the photo which is in the next page 29. That shopping centre has 75 shops and created 780 permanent jobs. The center is only 40 and leaves with its board, and the revenue derived from the stand between the board and amber that is now coming in. The lease is extendable, but what is important is that at the end of the first 4 years, the community is left with a huge available improvement on the asset in the form of a shopping center. And should one construct this with mining, where the community is left with appreciates that asset, one will see the difference. We say the second project is under Matondi Regional Council, where an average size shopping center was under construction at the end of the financial year under review, and hopefully will be operational during the course of the next financial year. And the third project is Josephine Mall, under the Regional Council. It was opened October 2013. To be noted that in the space of about 5 years, the same traditional candle has seen two major developments in this area. If one considers that there is already a hotel, and it was the entire lot. Apart from minor investments, these two investments in Josini have seen capital investment of approximately 300 million for the benefit of their community, which now owns this asset with the investment. You say, what is now to be considered? Focused to residential development beyond, of course, subsidized projects. It's worth recording that the local community also has a stake in operation companies of these two mega investments. So there are two income streams. Chairperson, with regards to the Gulf Coast Regional Council and the allocation they receive from the board, I request that I hand that part and moving forward with the financial report to the CFO, who is also currently acting as the CEO of the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. On slide 30, in Lama Trust makes funding available to community beneficiaries. We have categorized the funding into three categories. Firstly, stroke educational awards, administration costs. Administration costs include legal advice, vehicle maintenance, tracking of vehicles, tracking costs for vehicles, and salary paid to certain staff members within the community trust. Capital and infrastructure projects. For 2013-2014, the Yama Trust Board paid 486,000 for educational awards, 1.68 million on infrastructure projects, 1.67 million on general administration costs, which totals to your 3.8 million. The next slide, slide number 31. The committee required information on what system by the base. Basically, there are three sections within the ITB, the real estate, finance, and administration section. In finance, we use the cash flow accounting system, which is used for recording of payments and receipts. It is more commonly known as the general ledger. Cash flow is also used to calculate and prepare the monthly salaries in the accounting section. In finance, we also use the software as a database for invoicing of leases. Movable assets are recorded on the healthcare system. In the real estate section, ITB makes use of the Tanzania Information System, the LDIS system, which records requirements of leases and tenure grants, and it also is the basis for the landholding register. Slide 32, significant accounting policies. Like any other public entity, reporting in terms of debt is trust has various accounting policies on items of income, expenditure, assets and liabilities. This is recorded in detail in the annual report. We highlight a few significant accounting policies. These policies have auditor for GRAP compliance. Firstly, the policy on revenue, straight lining of each income. Rental income reflected in AFS is the average rental received per lease over the lease term. This is different from actual rental charge because of the escalation of rental income per annum. Figures noted in the slides forthcoming include the straight lining portion of lease income and the percent deposit. Property, the accounting policy on property, plant and equipment. Property, plant and equipment is reflected at cost less residual values or realizable values. Impairment and depreciation is accounted for. Lease property is property that we lease in terms of penalized or in terms of our normal leases is reflected at cost per point. Slide 33. This slide reflects a summary of the statement of financial position, more commonly known as the balance sheet. The total assets amounted to 370.8 million for 2013-2014. The total liabilities amounted to 261.5 million. The net asset value, being the difference between the assets and liabilities, amounted to 108.8 million. We know that there is a decrease in the net asset value. The decrease in net asset value is mainly due to the rate provision, a portion of rate that we had accrued for in 2014, which raised to 2013. And the rate for 2013 was then recorded as contingent liability, which we now move over to the provision. Slide 34 is a summary of the statement of financial performance or income statement. The total revenue for 2013-2014 amounted to 104.49 million and it includes the additional straight line lease income, which is a book entry. The total expenditure for the year amounted to 108.3 million. The trust incurred a deficit of 3.8 million for the year. On the other revenue comprises mainly of the transfer payment received from the department and compensation from services. We will expand on the income and expenditure in the slides to follow. Slide 35. This slide speaks on the cash flow statement. The IDB advance is net cash flow from operating activities by 3.6 million. That is the difference between the 2013-14 and 2013-2013 year. Increase in cash and cash equivalents from 2012-2013 to 2012-2014 amount of 7.2 million. The decrease in capital from investing activities is due to completion of major construction of office accommodation in the previous year. Therefore, you will find 13 million and 6.2 million on investing activities. Slide 36 focuses on operating and capital expenditure for the year in terms of the economic classification by National Treasury. The trust spent 14.6 million on compensation of employees for salary costs, 93.5 million was spent on goods and services, rent and interest on land. Rent is for one satellite office, amounting to 181,500. On page 71 of the annual report, the detailed expenditure, income and expenditure, reflects the goods and services that was paid for. The expenditure trend, the total expenditure increased by 80% from 2013 to 2014, mainly due to the increase in wage provisions, compensation of employees, and provision for disbursement of funds to traditional households. The charter payments received amounted to 14.5 million for that year and was fully utilized. And I said before that the rental is paid to the satellite office at the Mundi. Goods and services include general and operating administrative expenses, excluding employee costs. For the future years, employee costs will significantly increase if the proposed organogram is approved, which will result in increased administrative costs. Slide 38. This slide is additional information on the employment of staff and employee costs since 2010 to 2011. Due to the demand to service our communities effectively and adherence to comply with legislation, in the Nama Trust increased its staff complement from 21 in 2010-2011 to 55 in 2013-2014. The increase, the cost for the cost of the salary increase was 5.8 million in 2010-2011 to 14.6 million in 2013-2014. Slide 39. Here we make an analysis of the capital expenditure. It is graphically presented on this slide. The trust capital expenditure combined as follows: for motor vehicle purchases of motor vehicles, 3.1 million. For buildings, office accommodation, 2.5 million. Furniture, 602,000. Computer hardware, 280,000. Software and intangible assets, 195,000. The capital expenditure paid was mainly from income generated from ICB home trading activities. Capital expenditure was not paid from the transfer payment fund. Major portion of the capital expenditure was for the completion of the ICB office accommodation. ICB purchased vehicles, furniture, and equipment due to the increase in business activities. Software development for the database of leases was undertaken. For future years, the completion of phase 2 of ICB office accommodation will take place. Obviously, there will be a reduction in the capital expenditure. There's a possible construction of a phase 3 if the organogram is approved. If the proposed organogram is approved, there will be a need for further office accommodation. And obviously, capital expenditure will be required if the satellite offices are established. Chairperson on slide 40. From 40, 41, and 42. We provide information regarding the total revenue for 2013-2014. We note that rental income is a lease income, is of 71% of total income. Other revenue, which is compensation from circuits, transfer payments, makes up 19%. Finance income, which is investment income, makes up 9%. And royalty income, which comprises 1% of the total revenue. On slide 42, we show the lease income. In the period of time since 2010-11, 2013-14, in 2010-11, we know that the lease income was 21.9 million and it increased to 73.89 million in 2013-2014. Departmental transfer payments on slide 43, we show the income, the transfer payments for the period 2010-11 to 2013-2014. You would note that in from 2012-13 to 2013-14, there was a decrease in the transfer payment that we received from the department. The report of the Auditor General, property, plant and equipment. The Auditor General reported that the entity did not recognize land in accordance with the requirements of Act 17, property, plant and equipment, by recognizing it at fair value as at the date of acquisition. And the Auditor General says, I do not determine the correct fair value of land as it was impracticable to do so. The other issue was on the royalty revenue. The royalty received by the entity from the mining operators were incorrectly recognized as revenue by the entity, This is in the opinion of the Auditor General, which is contrary with the requirements of that 9 revenue from exchange protections. And then they set out the amount that we have overstated in our financial statements. The response of the board regarding the issues that the basis of the qualifications was property plant equipment. Our response on property plant equipment land division, the board notes that the concern raised by the Auditor General in this regard, the trust owned land that extends throughout the province of KwaZulu-Natal, the land was not acquired at a price as invested to the trust in terms of the Yama trust facts. The trust is aware of its lack of reporting responsibilities, and we do not wish to intentionally deviate from this. However, valuing 2.8 million hectares of land does not face administrative hectares of land does not face does place an administrative and more importantly financial burden on the state. The cost to be incurred for this valuation exercise will be exorbitant if accepted valuation techniques are used. The trust is mindful of wasteful expenditure for no material benefits, and complying with this level of gas standard does not devise does give rise to considerable expenditure. We seek to obtain an opinion from the Office of the Accountant General regarding the application of that. The trust will seek legal advice, accounting advice, regarding the preservation of land values on our land. The recognition of royalty revenue as income of the trust. The Auditor General contends that the income recognized as royalty income of the trust is treated as a liability. In other words, we've got to pay this back to the state by trust. The trust, because of this agreement, has requested that this matter be taken by Auditor. Consider ITV's entitlement to royalties in terms of the Royalty Act. We also wish to seek a legal opinion on this, on the issue of entitlement to the Royalty Act, or entitlement to royalties. There was a request from the committee regarding misconduct of employees on page 45. We know that there are no cases of employee misconduct or investigations carried for the year. Thank you, Chairperson. Are there any other issues relating to the challenges facing ICD and the more information on audit report? The Chairperson of the board will speak on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any additions?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think in the last two pages, the last paper, we just say the challenges moving forward, but we do not intend spending more time on this, and we wish to thank the committee and your chair very much. That's the end of our presentation.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the presentation.
That the people who are only interested who are in Hollywood, the richer human sources, the factors in the ITP, which is Hollywood. Now maybe Melebapa may come to be told about. Chair, I see that there are some of the systems as well that are using, and there's a framework, the government IT framework. Maybe it must be considered as a research format. And we shall ask you some new questions for the minister. What I want to raise here, that why IT is not evaluating the level? And the response was, in a nutshell, that there are boundaries that are missing too much either. Then I believe IT is the state level, unless someone explained that it's not a state level. unless they would say that this is not a state that they allow. I believe when you go later through your response to the Auditor General, the response of the board, I need an explanation exactly. Is it legal advice? You can really explain how far are you with this legal advice, so if you say. And there is no response on ITP chair in management. They like to find an issue, for example, and then poor responses, either your internal audit to the editor general, in a sense that you can only see that any response from your auditor discussion, for example, checking why you have responded, I will check the auditor response. But you tend to respond, let me go to the last, I think you mentioned the last one. It says the trust is mindful of wasteful expenditure for no mental benefits, complied with the standards, does not give misconsideration. Now, so maybe I need an explanation with you. How far are you as the ITB on this matter? But I welcome the presentation better than the previous time, okay? So,
thank you. Just a short one. In the presentation we received from the Auditor General's office before this session, we were advised that the sort of adverse comments that the department gets is just a cause of accounting problems related to the trust. Now, I'm new in this committee, but I know that year in, year out, this is a problem. And I think that there's a committee and a department, and I don't even think it's a problem with the trust of people. We need to find almost a permanent solution to this problem. And so the minister, in his input, suggests that the communal land rights bill, which has many problems, and the draft that has been, I think, struck down by the Consumer Court, it was resolved this matter. In fact, it was a so it will be good to get some sense already at this point. To what extent is this bill resolving this problem? Because we must find a solution which removes so much unhappy defense.
Thank you. How much
how much of that has been sent into a bill, or someone who does not have any this has happened to many agricultural projects that I know actually other people other than those who are supposed to deliver it. There are some other things other than some of them is we have moved, I was looking for cutlery here. I didn't see any cutlery today. But I see traditional carpet. 181,000 traditional carpet. How many carpets were bought? And how traditional are these traditional carpets? And at what, at how much they come? And who made this carpet? And how many traditional leaders? And why? And those who did not get cancer, why were they not given cancer? What sector are we using? And the other thing I want to bring back and see is, education of children, boundaries and other things. But what I want to know, again, is who are the children? Are we not taking children of traditional leaders to school at the expense of children who cannot, whose parents cannot afford. I come from a rural area, and my brother has a PhD in the village. And usually, whenever we discuss them from the court, some elders will say, let us not focus children from the rural village. When all is said and done, if there are changes that should be seen and being put in the traditional authorities house, and again, there should be changes seen in the houses of the lowest within that village. So I just want to make sure that it's not only my brothers who pay all benefits, that is my uncle's children, my aunt's children, but that the other children too, and for some of them can even afford to take their children to school. Be educated. Some of them are educated even by tribal funds for that thing. Yeah. And so I just thought it would be very interesting to me who are these kids and what are they are the main background. Thank you, Anna. Okay.
Thank you. Yes. With the human resources and family staff that I'm sure this is one of the few organizations where you find that there are more people on contract and family staff, like the library members. The reason is that the need for the board to operate efficiently become greater in the space of time. And the process of having a group of anagrams in place in time takes longer. There is a long process that we comply with. And as a result, we shift with this situation, but there is a proposed anagram under review, which once the board is satisfied, in fact, we are almost at the final stage where we are now engaging with the Department of Human Resources, where they are giving us guidance before it could be submitted for the ministerial consideration. These positions, which are currently on contract, are not for a short term, a position that we believe would be needed even going forward. With regards to the comment on the IT, I think it was more of an advice, but to the extent that it will answer our defense that we act into a response to that. The question of how far are we with regards to obtaining legal advice on the approach to take on land permission, see that an early stage, because our first fight was that we seek the exemption from the accounting general. I cannot comment better than that as far as whether my such land is taken or not. The fact of the matter is that where the honorable member says we must give more information in terms of our response to the Attorney General, we are saying the cost that we will ultimately incur if we were to do land valuation in terms of the acceptable techniques will far outweigh the benefit of having land valuation. And we make reference when we say we are mindful of irregular expenditure, that at the end of the day the benefit may at the end of the day be seen as wasteful expenditure as compared to the amount of money that we will have to spend evaluating the size of land in order to comply with that. And that is what is intended with that response. I think what the other member asked about a long-term solution, I can only leave that to this committee to provide guidance on that, because I think the problem is well set out, like he says, this is a perennial qualification of land not having been very accessible. We're not refusing the sheer financial resources that will have to be invested there. With far more than what I think we get as a transfer to family organization. That's what I want to say for the family position. Yes, we apologize with regards to not providing information, I think. But I think I can highlight that as to why those targets were not achieved. And maybe I can deal with, join with, where we're commended for overachieving. My sense is that, and Mr. Connor, in some instances I think we have put the targets too high. And in regards to where we have overachieved, I think the target was put too low, because we could achieve that number within a period that was given. That is one reason I think why we did not achieve what I think we might have put the target too high. But also I may say that with the level of staff, we need more training of staff to be more efficient to meet those targets. But not only the staff, but more traditionally, council need to be exposed to training so that the process could be expedited. But also, if I may add one more thing, this process is not voice-driven. It depends on the individuals who want to obtain the advice. So we need to do more marketing so that more people will come and apply for connection of the indigenous titles to this school. With regard to the joint ventures, and the question is the exact tangible benefits to these communities, and a concern raised by the other honorable member about a relationship between the rich and the poor. Maybe I want to deal with those two. Like I'm saying the question started from the honorable member Matela, and also honorable Chavillon also raised questions like difference. But I think in responding to that, I am focusing on what is the nature of the relationship we have with Thomas Hewlett and what are the tangible benefits. Ordinarily, the people that have bought land were sure against about. Until we had this relationship, they did not have access to adequate finance to plow their sure cane. Like commercial farmers. The situation of course that wasn't when one looked at national credit
because the people are not qualified. So this relationship, and now we are addressing the following. From the onset, Thomas Student guarantees the market for the sugar cane. It will buy the sugar cane from the small sugar cane growers. But what the sugar cane growers do, more like the forestry, they need infrastructure, they need sometimes irrigation scheme, they also need fertilizer, and then therefore need access. Thomas Hewlett has one, provided a micro lending scheme where they advance money to the small growers up front, and as the sugarcane is ready, submitted to the mill, the owner of the sugarcane contract has paid the less what has been advanced before by Thomas Hewlett. But also what has happened, Thomas Hewlett has put about 300 million rand on job creation as a project, and the government in the pen, I'm suffering for actually the figures, I'm going to clarify the chapter scenario. Thank you, Chairperson. In fact, I was inflating. I think what they have provided is there is a job creation fund by the government where probably I just put about 40%. I will come back to the exact figures because the government is in the committee. And in return, the government has come up with 60% of that fund. It will be managed under the Thomas but Thomas Hewlett is the manager. Not the ICP, but the proposal was put jointly with the ICP. So the tangible benefits, therefore, are the following. One is that small sugarcane growers have gone out the capacity to produce quality sugarcane, and therefore they don't need to be employed. They can now permanently look after their own food. Number two, there are other social benefits, like by Thomas Hewlett, as part of this, has provided money to upgrade infrastructure in the surrounding schools within communities where these projects are taking place. And also, with regards to job creation, I wish to come back on that with the correct figures because we have not been provided figures. We do not see, therefore, the relationship being a precarious one where the poor will end up being poorer. In fact, what has happened is, as Thomas Hewlett is scaling down on sugarcane on his properties, this has closed the gap. These small sugarcane growers have closed the gap because they are able to produce as good a quality of sugarcane as is produced by large-scale sugarcane growers. With regards to vacancies, the two vacancies on permanent positions, one is the real estate manager for the line, and that was towards the end of the last financial year. We are trying to address this problem as soon as possible. And with regards to the other vacancy, which is the assistant registry clerk, while this position is recorded as vacant at this stage, the secretariat requested that they employ somebody on contract in an emergency position against this permanent position. But it's mandatory. Yes, with regards to mining, two things I can say as far as that is concerned, that there are mining houses on Wanyama land, and what about the employees in housing projects? In our report, when we talk about a each system or traditional country having to set aside land for development. That is what we have in mind, because for product development to take place, there are a number of regulatory requirements that need to be met. So we are mindful on that, and we appreciate the direction there, where we think as the entity that is entrusted with land management, joined with the traditional concerns, the land will be made available for housing development. That's why we say we need to look beyond the government's rural housing project, but look at what we call the housing beyond that. But that will need a joint venture. Municipalities coming up with infrastructure, mining housing coming up with money. But apart from that, I may say that there are other tangible benefits we couldn't comment on, because they are not really done by us, and we may give the wrong impression. Because in terms of Department of Energy or Mineral Resources, each mining house even has a social labor plan. So there are benefits coming from that, where part of the social labor plan, a mine house will contribute towards those construction. There are clinics, there are crashes, there are even schools coming out of those. Now, the other question was no cutlery this time, but traditional cutlery of an amount of close to 200,000. And also the other question was the background of the educational award recipients. The carpet, we call it traditional carpet because it's a carpet that was made out of the hides from cattle. It is a once-off, not that all traditional leaders had it, but it was bought for the king for ceremonial functions. With regards to educational awards, the role of the board, like I said earlier on, we get a list from a traditional council having interviewed the candidates for scholarship awards, knowing how much is available to their benefit. They do all the screening themselves. Ours is to facilitate comment. We get the list of the candidates and the institutions in which they have been submitted. So that is the information that they have given to us. Whether those recipients are the children of traditional leaders or ordinary people, we don't get any of that information. But looking at the number, we want to believe that those are the children from the community. But to the extent that the question has been raised, it would be important for us, with the list that we have today, to go back to each traditional council and get that so that the question is answered. Whatever I might have omitted to respond to that question, I would request that to the Action CEO and my colleagues maybe to respond to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The question comment made on the initiative or we should explore using the IT system that government uses. The national system is exclusively used for, I would say, non-government, but that is because we do generate our own income. And it's easy to use the national system. We will explore the use of the BAS system. Of the government, obviously we are looking at cost of the energy process for the system become cheaper, and the administration burden of converting from as well as to looking at more than 10,000
generated by, because you wouldn't generate that money if there was no IGB. And the same time you generated the money, that should mean that you can use it any way you like. And use money for things unnecessary. There are things that where members of the board are doing business with IGB, including the team itself. I mean, where there is a shareholder in a company via the money. How does one compete with the team's company when you make a presentation about, let's say there's a tender to put the notices on land owned by people, it's part of marketing, it's part of communication. If the team's company is looking for that choice, and a company that's buying has put its bid, so that the chances are that the team's company is for me, that is not only the way that's doing business. I mean, you know, there are not, if you look at the annual report, page 52, it has all the people, and it's all the people who within the board who are involved in the business. I find that a big problem, as you said, because, you know, these are some of the things that will make some people feel that I think we need to call this new company. And some people can say that it's being disrespectful. But when there are things like this, and in the name of, you know, public confidence in our finances and the way we do our things, I think sometimes some of our practices really do. Many questions that are very difficult to ask. It's not easy to ask a question about the king and his business interests. But if they're from time to time getting into our area, our domain, into our report, or when we do analysis and we check other things, so we have that number, even members of the group are involved in business, that is a leader for them. So then, thank you. I did not give you to complete my sentence. Yes, yeah, so I just wish you could have done that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Sue. I think that what you now remember is raising is important, not only for now, but also for the future, so that there's a complete understanding. One is the following. The matter could not have gone for tender, because if it gone for tender, other people would have come. This was not a matter that was supposed to go for tender. The amount that is reflected is quite obvious, the amount of 4,000 and all right. And therefore, it would not be subject to tender. But what happened was, as gifts that were to be made, the staff of the ITB purchased wine, which goes in the market to buy it. That's what happened. But no tender, nothing. If the wine which is in the market, many members who go to wine shops will find wine, buy it. Now it is listed in SAA, those who might not have seen it. That's what happened. Not that the board called for tender and the king, a company where the king or myself had chaired, and that company decided to put in tender. Some that has been discovered through the invoicing without even us noting how the wine was acquired. It could have been otherwise, etc., but I'm just saying that you will not even remember that. Not that the company does business with the board, but the staff faces white, And what is being disclosed is that that line comes from a company where he himself is interested. The second aspect deals with that. And I'm sure it will come more so as one moves forward with formalization of Kenya in communal land, because most people sit in communal land do not have county lands. It just so happens that in this instance, land which I did not ordinarily need to have document with, under normal circumstances, like 95% of the people, because once you start these disclosures, even the palaces of the king, only when I'm a land. But the only difference is that, as we currently see now, there are no leases. The day he signs the lease, it will have to be disclosed yet. That is the difference. Not that they're doing business in that point, that once you want to access money with land at the communal, a bank needs formal documents. And you go back to that land which was owned by your grandparents and inherited with no documents. Once you start getting documents, we thought we were doing the right thing by disclosing that in terms of PFMA. But not that we're doing business in the normal course where each time you compete with each individual, right? There are many, many people, and I'm sure even some board members who one day, if they once it becomes a case with, once they take leases, as long as their board members then have to disclose. Thank you, sir.
That this has been arranged in 2018-2012, that your procurement and contract management is poor. There's no qualification. Again, here. Now, honestly enough, if there's been raising this for some time, 2012-2015, even this financial year of procurement and management is poor in the age of time. There's no qualification. There's conflict of interest. Board members have decided to buy a carpet for their one board member, just making this. It's a good thing. Now, I'm concerned on this. And my statement was, why did you not have to choose on your right? Why did you don't do KwaZulu-Natal, the Romney provinces, the Romney ships, the different provinces? I know that the digital health for background, you understand it. Maybe I'll direct this question to Honorable Minister. On your call, but let's reshape or reorganize this entity. We will call it that. One issue.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks very much. Unfortunately, I went out, but and I'm using the comments. I just want to check the ownership of this Wanyama-san. Are you only or involved in the letter belonging to KwaZulu government, or have you also jumped to the land that used to be owned by Natal administration? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. What I was explaining, Chair, is that the narrative said that this was a subsistence and travel amount. I'm explaining that for all I know, because to me it wouldn't have made sense to say this was subsistence and travel amount. I don't know how it comes about, but I'm saying what I do know about is that this, the expenditure that is being one at the stage, and the CFO next to me tells me that this is how this was allocated, or this is how it was allocated in the space by my space in the space. The second question is, yes, we did not, the land does not include land that was once owned by the Natal only the former one.
Thank you.
the chairperson of the office for the CEO's office for, because the money that is taking are each and every day. I think the money that you need to buy furniture each and every day must go to the community for community improvement. And the other one, looking at the figures on pension, on pension deficit, the issue of the health of the machine is actually still a hero. But you also ask yourself, if each and every financial day in the sector, when the other hand is done, is missing me in the previous financial day. Because Qatar, when you buy it, you can use it for 5 years. You are not a hotel, but it's just an office Qatar. Then the other one, page 34. Look at page 34 and page 36. At page 34, you have indicated that the expenditure, is 108,350,581. Looking at page 36,
likewise with regards to the 9 million value.
point of order. So I think we have to be treated with law school. I think they must give us a break that is important. But I don't understand this. And I think now that I keep the sense of make or postpone things at the end of the day, it doesn't help us to do an effective oversight of this part of the utility. Thank you.
I think it's for the first time I'm giving an annual report. We're looking at it on the Google delivery day. For the first time, I'm going to be quite done. I think if you're already reporting, you must make sure that this would be the next step. Improving that and all of the questions that are involved.
Thank you, Chairperson. That is known, Chairperson. I think the SPC will also comment on that. Before I hand it over to him, I agree separation with regards to what is the right number. My understanding of this number of employees is 55, but for some reason, I don't know how they explain it because I don't look at the report all the time. I think it is 7, but I did see that contradiction myself at some stage and I just have to be corrected. My collection was 55, but when the 58 now coming at 54, I'm not sure how that comes. The urgency or the deficit and narrative on the vehicles. All I can comment on before I hand over to the chairperson the book on Zulu history. As we currently see, we have a judgment against the service provider. It's a question of execution. This is apparently in Canada as we speak. I'm sure she's writing there, etc. But we took the message to the High Court to recover the furniture. We sought a judgment in favor of the court. It's a question now of executing that whether we have the service or not. Thank you, Chairperson. I hand it over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. There is a question on the acquisition of motor vehicles. We touched about nine vehicles, three double cabs, two parties, three station wagons, one motor car, a normal vehicle. The common term that we use is motor vehicles to describe this. So that could be about nine. In terms of the disposal of vehicles, we have not disposed of any vehicles in the financial year. Whose vehicles are, who uses vehicles, these vehicles are used by the in-house employees. The monitoring of the vehicles, each one of these vehicles are fitted with a tracking device. A tracking device to track the movement of these vehicles. Each one of these vehicles are not being insured. The question around finance income. Finance income, we normally, it's an alternative term that is used in accounting, which basically means income from investments. Income from, in other words, the interest that you earn from your investments that you have. The reason for the deficit, if you look at page 70 of the annual report, consolidated income and expenditure of the trust. The total revenue is 104,497,779. Total expenditure 108,385,81, and the deficit is 3.8 million. Now you'll notice that your expenditure is more than your income. Now the total expenditure is scheduled or in detail of those of that expenditure 104,000 is reflected on page 7. Now, mainly the deficit, as I explained earlier, is in relation to the rates provision that we made. If you look at the rate provision we made in 2013-14, it's about 48.9 million. Which, if it isn't, and part of that 48.9 million is about 34 odd million is from the previous year, 2012-2013. And my brief with the Auditor General, they're sitting right here. For us, that's, in fact, we should should have disclosed 2012, 2013 fees in 2012, 2013, but they said it's an accounting, it's an adjustment on accounting estimate rather than an adjustment to an accounting error. It's not an accounting error, it's an adjustment for an accounting estimate. Therefore, you will not amend the prior fees, therefore the deficit. In terms of the furniture, remember that in 2012-13 and 2013-14, we moved into these new offices. We increased the staff from 2012-13 to 2013-14. We did purchase furniture for the offices to be used by the board members. However, that does not make up the material amount for the furniture that we purchased. Because of increasing the number of staff, we purchased furniture for this, basically your desks, tables, cabinets, filing cabinets. The overall expenditure of 84%, as I explained earlier, was led to the deficit of 3.8 million. Again, I'm saying that the overall expenditure is basically being due to the increase in the rates provision that we made. The issue on recovery, this question was raised previously in a previous meeting, and we explained then that yes, we don't buy cutlery on an annual basis every year due to the nature of the business and increased activities at ICB. Increased number of staff and the meetings that we have, obviously we need to have a cutlery, which is not a material amount in comparison to the total expenditure. The TCs that we pay or we fund, and we pay money on behalf of TCs, and we don't have that information available right here right now. That information is readily available and we will supplement that. Thank you, Shimon.
Can I add that in the future the machine is your work on the changes? Sometimes you have the additional quality expression, but sometimes you are outsourcing that duty. You're not sure if you're going to do it. And we have this amount of teachers or phenomenon, which is human instruction. And there's another policy and procedure on your procurement, unless you can have it, you have a procurement. And they've raised this, these are since the return, till today, nothing has been done. I'm taking the policy. All of them, they're related to it. It's not about contractual procedure and labor. It's all about you removing a policy. Like buying of cutlets, solution is also on the thing. Now, when we get more information to be easy, unless you don't have it, and Minister, maybe the intervention is so important on this, on the thing. I'm always covering honorable Minister, your intervention is so important on this. They're great this now and then. And yes, it's a new test, it's a new beginning. We're supposed to move forward. This is address all the things that but I don't see any movement in it. Issues of traditional leaders. You frame for the council. Give us a bit, what are you looking for? Maybe give us your whatever, I don't know the training part, because they're not details you. Yes, you train them, but I don't know us. Sure, thank you. Thank you.
the state responsibilities, and the other one is the student responsibility. The question is for the conversation, chairperson, in the allegations made to students, the universities in the main are the same, but in the one district municipality, the average amount is 6,000 rands, whereas in the other municipality, the average amount is 10,000 per student. One just wanted to know why a debt differentiation, because it can come down to discrimination that if you're not in the zoo and the district municipality, you are found to be less. And I'm quite sure that cannot be the case. There must be another logical also, don't remind me, as I said previously, we did ask the judge, honorable judge, around the dissecting the allegations in terms of a disability. One wanted to know how many of the students indeed for disability. That time is there the answer. I'm quite sure it's not there yet. But in the future, we can be providing for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, on this case of your presentation, you have mentioned that you have made a major position and the increase in the education will amount to 38 million. But then I am supposed to be
and
also a number of leases that are generated from the forest. So money is generated from that community, according to port policy, goes back to the port policy. I think that that is what I wanted to specify. But as to whether we make reference to the same traditional council between the 3 million and 31 million, etc., ask me, I can see how to respond.
Thank you, Chairperson. If you look at page 68 of the annual report, you note that you made a provision of 31 million based on the budget. And the actual amount determined is 28 million. Now that 28 million is calculated on the income that the Indorama Trust, 90% of the income that the Indorama Trust generates. Meaning 90% of the figure we calculated, excluding transfer payment and excluding the straight line income, which is not realizable. So, 28 million is basically an income statement provision or income statement item. The 3.8 million, if you look at page 60, the accumulated provisions that they make on a yearly basis, that provision now amounts to 169 million. And for 2013-14, we've paid in actual cash 3.8 million, not the 28 million. So in actual cash, we've paid 3.8 million, which on page 60 is reflected on the provisions. We don't account for payments on a cash basis. If we had a conversation about cash basis, we would have deposited the 3.8 million. However, in terms of the policy, the 90% is first. In other words, income that it generates, 90% of that we put traditional councils as a provision. Chairperson, the table of discipline. What I'm saying is, let me try to summarize this. What I'm saying is that if ITV had to receive 10 rand or 100 rand or generate 100 rand by means of invoicing, it does not mean that the fund or the income that is reflected in the income statement is received. So if ICB is generating 100 rand, what we do is we say we keep 10% for ICB administration costs, which is 10 rand, and 90 rand for traditional costs. So on an annual basis, assuming the following year we have made the same amount of income, so it would mean that 10 rand for this year, 10 rand for the following or the following years to come, or the following year will be 20 rand. So that 20 rand we treated as provision in the, as a liability in the balance sheet. So we now have 20 rand accruing to traditional councils, payable to traditional councils, from which we can pay. So what happens is that when a request is received from the traditional council, we will then see, based on what is in the credit of the traditional council, how much money they have. So we pay against the 10 rand or the 20 rand. So that 8 million is a payment against the 28 rand. It's an accounting concept. I'm not sure the AG can assist here on that. Thank you.
understand what the person is asking. I think the procedure is the following. Any request that has may come to us is sanctioned by the Chancellor Council based on what they have been made to understand they have the case. In other words, the traditional council is unlikely to come up with a request like that, but I understand because it's the same point. We normally would say we've got, let's say, 1 million rand for disbursement to the traditional council. The proposal must be for community benefit assessment. And then the traditional council, based on that, then they'll put a request to say, look, we need a school or we need a church. And most of the time, among the guidelines, we would say, no, let the government have the competency, we are unlikely to agree with that. So, a detailed policy in this regard is already in a draft form, so that because it has this question that has been asked around that for some time now. But we do have draft policy around that, which set up clearly what projects that the talk about and what projects.
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to be.